Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. You're listening to Davin's Den. Number to call in, 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. We got a jam-packed school of fools for you. Lots of foolishness out there, kids. So we'll play that. We'll do that for you.
Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of fools. So we got three stories we want to get to tonight. The first one is a
judicial.
Yes. Judicial nominee who would not answer questions about desegregation. So federal fucking words.
Those words are so annoying.
Who put words there?
God, sorry.
Federal judicial nominee Wendy Vitter refused to say
that was kind of rough.
Judicial?
Just a federal judicial Wendy, you see what I mean?
Thank you. What a pal.
He's just taking the pressure off of you.
I'll read that. No.
I'll show you how worse it can be.
And I did.
I'll show you how this works. So let me bow out.
Pip's
now.
Smart Pip's like, I'm not even going to fucking try.
Let these two assholes
hang themselves.
I'm not even hanging. I was just commiserating with you.
I'm sitting back with the popcorn.
I appreciate that. You're a team player.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So on Wednesday, Ms. Vitter refused to say whether she agreed with the landmark civil rights case that desegregated U.S. public schools. Really? Now paper's giving me a problem? Okay. During her confirmation hearing, Vitter, whom President Trump nominated to become a federal judge in the Eastern District of Louisiana, would not say whether she believed the Supreme Court case Brown v. Board of Education was correctly decided when Senator Richard Blumenthal asked her about it. She said, I don't mean to be coy, Roy. But
just got on the bus, Gus.
Our references are old.
you know what the problem is? Because he used to go, oh, you used to goof on us because our references are old.
I know.
He's starting them.
I know.
And then I'm hitting, welcome aboard, Nana.
Welcome to the old bus.
Welcome to the old bus.
All right, I'll sit in the back where my people belong. Anyway, I don't mean to be coy, but I think I get into a difficult area when I start commenting on Supreme Court decisions, which are correctly decided, which I disagree with. Again, my personal political or religious views I would set aside, she said, adding that she would uphold her legal precedent. Respectfully, I would not comment on what could be my boss's ruling, the Supreme Court, Vitter said. I would be bound by it, and if I start commenting on it, I agree with this case or I don't agree with that case, I think we get into a slippery slope. Other nominees have shied away from commenting on Supreme Court decisions. So the question is, should she have followed suit and shied away with it, or should she have stated what she really thought?
I think that because it was such a groundbreaking, anti-racist kind of legislation, the fact that she was sticking to her guns about not commenting on any decision by the Supreme Court seems really odd and really kind of, how can you not have an opinion on that particular one?
Well, she's not saying I don't have an opinion. She's saying I don't want to share
I don't want to share my opinion.
Is there a downside?
I think
she could have said, listen, I'm not going to comment on the particular case.
Right.
But I think we can all agree that segregation was a scourge on our nation.
That would have, right.
You know, that she could have probably, you know, give the slight difference between the way the case was adjudicated
right.
and if she wanted to give her opinion. If she thinks that, she might not think that. I don't know. I don't know this woman.
I don't know. I mean, like, was she, like, candidly rubbing her little I love apartheid necklace? I mean, what the hell was
going
on?
She could. I mean, I'm not saying she does, but it's possible she thinks separate but equal is fine. That's what it was. It was is separate but equal legal.
Right. And but that's what I think is just so amazing because you know, the Supreme Court did rule about whether or not Hitler was evil, but I don't want to comment and say what my opinion is. Really? Really?
I mean, I don't think it's a huge deal that she didn't say anything, but I think she should have.
I think she should have.
I think at some point you got to go, listen, this is, Well, they don't want to say what they believe because they're impartial. But you know what? It's not the worst thing in the world if the KKK is coming before you and goes, well, this judge doesn't like racists. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Well, the thing about this thing, there was an op-ed that was done on this. Obviously, it was an op-ed. However,
did you write it?
No. But what they were saying, she's very pro-life. And what the op-ed was saying is that she might have taken a neutral stance because in the writer's opinion, they were trying to – Blumenthal was trying to bring her down to the road at the next question of Roe v. Wade.
But you can do that because there's still a sizable portion of respectable people in this country who are anti-abortion.
Right.
The people who are pro-segregation are not what the majority of this country would call – respectable people.
Right.
So you can make that differentiate.
And
you know, you could say I'm pro-life based on my religious beliefs, which you go, listen, nobody's saying segregation based on religious beliefs.
I'm pro-racism based on my religious beliefs. No, I've said no one ever.
No, I mean, it's not really in any scripture.
No,
but I'm saying, I mean, I think I might have seen that op-ed, but I don't think it's a very strong case.
Well, and the op-ed did say it was a catch-22. You know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
But she could have answered it better.
She could have answered it better on that. But I guess, you know, at that time, maybe, you know, you're trying to make split-second decisions on how you're going
to
answer.
You're a fucking judge. You're supposed to be the best of the best for a lifetime appointment. If I can do it, a stupid radio host next to the cat litter. She should be able to do it. I had a year and a half of law school. I fucking figured out how to say that. Now Blumenthal might have persisted on it, but I would have said, you just go, listen, that's all I'm going to comment on it.
Right.
I'm not going to comment on that specific case because those potentially could be my bosses. Right. But I'm just saying, I personally feel racism, slavery was a scourge on our society. Now, if I was adjudicating a case, I would go by the statutes and the laws and precedent. But which is what a judge should do in my position. But by my personal opinion, I hate segregation. And just leave it there.
Well, it just seems strange because it wouldn't even have been a thing if she had answered something along the lines that you did. But now I'm sitting here thinking, and I don't think that this is true, but I'm thinking, could she possibly have think that was a bad idea?
It's possible.
And I would never have like raised the question.
Listen, we know Trump has nominated some awful people for judges that even the Republicans are like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, he, where the bar is like, these people suck.
Yeah.
And Trump has put Trump has sided with some awful people.
Yeah.
So it is possible that this Vitter is awful, but I'm not getting that based on this answer. But you certainly allay a lot of fears if you answer it.
Right, but I wouldn't even have thought to be afraid of the other side if she had answered. But now I'm going, you want to answer the question about, like, segregation?
And I think it's possible Blumenthal was trying to trap her.
Right, in the piece, again, there was another nominee a couple of years ago, Nell Badian. And Blumenthal, the author, was interviewing him. And basically, he was asked essentially the same questions, and what he did was a better answer. He said, I think it would be appropriate for me to go down a list of Supreme Court cases and say, I think this case was rightly decided and this case was not, because I think that would call into question my partiality going forward, would have been, and that's the way this other person answered the question when it was put forth.
So we think she kind of screwed it up, but not a huge deal.
Not a huge deal.
I don't know if that should be the reason she doesn't get the appointment.
No.
But it doesn't give you a warm fuzzy. You kind of wonder about her mental capability and what she thinks about right and wrong.
I wouldn't have otherwise.
Right. So, is it important to know what these judges think about desegregation before confirming her? I mean, these are lifetime appointments.
Yes.
I kind of feel it might be important to know that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such a major thing.
I would also look at the cases that she decided on and ruled on.
Of course.
Yes. You know, that before anything else. Because, you know, you look at this, well, she might be, you go back and see what she ruled.
That happens a lot during these processes.
But, and that's your body of work.
Yes.
So your body of work is going to speak.
So she could have even said, listen, you'll see, I had a case such and such, and you'll see how I ruled. There, you know,
right.
clearly I frown on racism.
Yeah.
But as much as I can rule that way, that the law prohibits. I am always going to give to the law, because that's what my job is, to uphold the laws and statutes of our great nation.
Well, and not only do they, you know, rule one way or the other, but they write their opinions. And therein you can find a lot of the way that they think.
Right. So she fucked it up.
Yeah, I think so. In a nutshell, yeah.
I mean, no, she fucked it up. I don't think it's enough reason for her to lose.
No.
But, you know, not the greatest thing.
Not the most graceful way of handling it.
Now we're going to get progressively controversial.
No, I think you said it the first way.
Yeah, I caught that too. Yeah.
So this is about a daddy-daughter dance that was canceled.
It's the daddy-daughter dance.
Anyway, this is about the daddy-daughter dance that was a...
Once, you get to hang out with your friends, go talk to them, dance with your dads.
This year's dance was supposed to be on Friday, right before Valentine's Day. But the school's principal directed the PTA reschedule it because of the City Department of Education's gender-neutral policy. It was put into place a year ago and requires school events to include all types of students and families.
It's kind of a letdowner, but at least I can still spend time with my dad.
It's supposed to be father and daughter. Father and daughter need to have a little relationship. You know, feel good. Daddy taking you out on your first date, you get all dressed up.
Absolutely not. It's a father-daughter dance, not a grandmother-son-daughter-slash-daughter dance, or not a, you know, absolutely not.
Now the dance will be held in March and be open to the entire school community, not just fathers and daughters. Some parents say being politically correct is getting in the way of reinforcing a special bond.
It's almost as if they're taking it away.
You have to see my daughter's face every time that we walk in. It's just like, wow, you know, my daddy's here, you know. And for us dads that we have the time, you know, I actually make time for it because I work at night. And it's a pleasure.
We tried to speak with the principal as well as the PTA president here at the school. Both declined our request for an interview. In a letter, the principal told parents they're now looking for a bigger venue to fit everyone.
If there's a situation that's going to make a child uncomfortable, feel left out, sad because they can't attend, that's not what we want.
While some little girls have their dance shoes ready to go, they don't mind waiting so others can join them.
It's fair because they also have mother-son bowling, and if girls want to go bowling too, besides the mothers, they can't.
It's not clear how this will affect other schools. Nearby PS30 has a flyer for an upcoming fudge dance, which stands for fun with uncles, dads, grandpa, etc. In the Stapleton section of Staten Island, Lisa Rosner, CBS 2 News.
So, I think it's a good policy, but then you start going too far and you get into these weird situations.
Yeah.
Like it's good to be inclusive, but there's also something to be said for creating special memories. Like, as long as you have something separate but equal.
Well, the thing is that, you know...
what are you doing?
I'm really cold, so I pulled my arms inside my sleeves to, like, hug my body to keep
me warmer.
Looks
like you're, like, filling yourself up. Like Pip just got to second base with herself.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
That looks creepy.
Yeah, I see what's underneath.
Looks like your bosom's got hands.
Can you imagine? Slap it away. Get away from there. Get away from there.
Fade it
somewhere. Yeah, fast food doesn't get you to second base. Scram.
Ooh, is that a snack?
Who said it doesn't?
Who wants a hand job? Not with those.
Yeah, bring it.
What'd you say? Fast food doesn't get you to second base?
It's like you're a praying mantis.
Who said it doesn't?
It's like you're a praying mantis. Like, I expect you to, like, feed yourself from there.
I got my hand sticking out the neck hole of my shirt.
Hey, do me a favor. Strangle yourself.
I'm trying. No, it's...
Chokers out.
It's called the choker.
No, a lot of, you know, studies have been done about how crucial the relationship between fathers and daughters are in setting the stage for what kind of relationships they're going to expect and look for in their, if you have, you know, a heterosexual union, that's what they're going to look for in their partner. And so having this moment that they're going to be able to spend together sounds like it's really nice. And they already tried to have an equal, you know, well, we're going to have mothers and sons so that they can bond. Now, turning it around and saying, well, just because, you know, everybody doesn't have, like, you know, a dad or something, and now we're going to turn it into, you know, all skate. just because so, it doesn't mean.
Well, I guess you could ask. Well, I'm a single parent. I'm mom and dad.
Yeah, and it's like, well, then you come.
But you know what? It's like the daddy daughter dance is a very special thing. And I grew up without a father, and there were things that, you know, father and son nights that weren't going on. But I wasn't bitter about it,
right.
And I wasn't bitter about anybody that, you know, that brought their dads and stuff like that. They were lucky enough to have their dads, and they were lucky enough to have the experience of it. I wasn't upset about it.
Yeah,
it is what it was what it was.
Right.
You know, and to just turn around. Well, we can't have no, because it's going to ruin. A certain experience. You're destroying an honor tradition.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up essentially without a mom because my mom was sick, and so she couldn't attend to the kinds of things that, you know, other kids' moms did. And
yeah.
I wasn't, you know, traumatized by that.
You had a daughter and mom and mom and mom and mom and mom. Because you had multiple personalities.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
no.
Wow, that would have been funny if I didn't have to explain it. What do you mean,
But, you know, but no. You know, my whole thing is, you know, where does it end? And that's always been my rallying cry with a lot of other topics. Where does it end? All right? They should just leave this alone.
Well, and, you know, it's like, okay, if this particular daughter has, you know, a mom or moms, you know, it's like, and one
oh,
of them.
Well, you could have that now. You could have moms.
Yeah.
So both moms should be able to come.
Yeah.
Or dads, whatever the case may be.
Or whatever.
Daddy, yeah, you have a daddy daughter. It's the next, you know, after that, you could have a, you know, an older parent or, you know, a fun day. You know,
right.
Something like that. But you still have this and have
still
the other
have
thing
that.
So everybody's included.
Yeah.
Don't get rid of a time-honored tradition, you know, add another night.
Right. Don't take that away.
Don't
because,
take it away.
You know, so not
it's an experience,
everybody has
you know,
that.
It's an experience that's been handed down to generation. The school shouldn't sit there, oh, well, now we're not going to do it because it's not a all right, have another night where it's all-inclusive.
You know what? Well, it's like, look.
Open bar?
Now, one of my favorite words.
If I go out any, because I'm middle-aged and I'm female.
Really? How old do you think you're going to live to?
I don't know. Well, this is my
aren't you quite optimistic?
This is my halfway
too
mark,
far
motherfucker.
I'm not calling myself middle-aged.
Okay.
But actually, I could be middle-aged.
I'm not saying,
she ain't living to 100, I'm just saying.
I'm not saying it's chronologically correct.
I'm middle-aged.
I'm
I've got a castle growing under my arm. In Middle Ages.
Oh,
castles.
God. I see what he did. I don't know what was growing under his arm. Anyway.
Do me a favor. Use your hand boobs to fucking choke him now.
My hand boobs. Come here. I'm going to motorboat you and kill you.
I left on paper.
That's a way to go.
On paper, we've written a lot of funny things. Once you hear them, not so much.
Right. Oh, God. You ever run to the club and go, they're gonna put me on their shoulders and run me out?
All the time.
And then you go there and it's like, you got to leave the car running.
Sure. With me, it's like, this is the Tonight Show bit.
Oh, it's like,
here's 5 minutes of genius.
I'm going to go up there. They're going to go, oh, my God. And it's like, I'm like, really? Really?
Absolutely.
Slink away. Right the next time.
But then we realize there's still more radio show to do.
Yes.
And we plow forward.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, that's what happens. I forgot what the hell I was talking about.
We did a nice distraction.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never had, I don't remember daddy-daughter dances. My daughter didn't have any daddy-daughter dances.
Well, she's still young enough. She'd probably still have them.
Nah, I think we're getting to the point now
where
you're starting
like, now it's the creepy.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. It's cute when they're little.
Did you have daddy-daughter dances?
I don't know.
You were in school, you would know if they had them.
Yeah, I don't remember that. No. I don't know if they had that or not.
No, I mean,
I'm sorry. We just, it's, you know, it's a cherished memory that people are, well, what about you? I'm drunk if I know.
I don't know. Well, I mean,
I was drinking cough medicine.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I certainly didn't go to one if there was one. Right. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I haven't had one. But I think you go down a slippery slope. And then I think you have these unintended consequences where I feel like this is about transgender people for some reason. I don't know why.
No, I just think it's like you have like alternate families, you know.
Yeah, I feel like you have the unintended consequences where like people who would normally be supportive of you be more tolerant, turn around and start fucking hating you because of shit like this. We go, you guys are ruining our good fun. You know, we didn't want to discriminate you, but now you suck.
Now you ruined it because now we can't have it anymore. Yeah, it does. That would be an unintended consequence. But I mean, I never felt like because my mom wasn't well enough to participate in things that nobody should have it. You know, like. Well, what I was starting to say is
fuck. Distract.
middle-aged woman, if I go someplace on Mother's Day, people always say Happy Mother's Day, and I'm like, well, I'm not one, and I don't have one.
Oh,
so
I always get that. I always
yourself.
Get that too. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, right. You know? And, but like, I don't lash into them. I just say thank
you. I hope what you guys say back to them is Merry Christmas.
No, I just say
thank
you.
Well, you're gracious. You know, you got to be
happy great. Mother's Day and Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, well, you can't be an asshole about
sure
it.
Sure, you can. You're an asshole in a lot of places.
No, but I don't want to begrudge.
But that's what the whole Happy Holidays thing is about, people being assholes, about being offended about Happy Holidays. People can be assholes. Fox News has a morning show dedicated to it. I mean, apparently you can. I agree with you guys.
Absolutely.
You just go thank you when you move. When somebody says Merry Christmas to me, I don't get offended. Thank you. Merry Christmas. It's not worth fucking going
it's
on a
not.
Tangent. Yeah. Just like it's not worth Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, because really, who has that type of time?
I'm not going to ruin your time. I mean, I've had to endure listening to a lot of people since my brother has had his medical emergency. I've had to endure listening to a lot of people talk to me about God and God's will and prayer and yada yada. I don't go up to each and every one of them and slap them and say, I'm an atheist, smack.
You
I
have a radio
say,
show for
I
that.
I just say, yes.
We call them out so everybody can hear.
I just say, thank you. Thank you. That's very nice. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You say thoughts, no prayers.
Yeah.
Send thoughts, no prayers.
Sending thoughts, no prayers.
That's nice. But you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to ruin it for everybody
else.
No,
because it's coming
out
of a place of niceness.
Right, exactly.
Only a douche thinks like Happy Holidays or Happy Mother's Day or Happy... Is
a bad thing.
Yeah, and that's why exactly. I can't take that the war on Christmas. There's no war. People are just being nice, and they're trying to be inclusive.
Right.
And then Happy Mother's Day, Happy Father's Day, somebody's not a mother, father. They're just assuming. Maybe they shouldn't assume.
You know,
we're just trying to
be
nice.
But you know what?
Whatever.
They would assume that you're a parent, and you'd probably be a good parent and stuff like that.
And they'd be wrong. You know? But it's fine.
Yeah, you know.
They're assuming you're a good parent. Oh, no.
People
hold
say,
oh,
Happy
on.
Father's Day. No, I'm a creep who lives alone. You know?
That's fucking tremendous. That should be your answer. That should be your answer. Happy Father's Day. Well, actually, I'm a creep who lives alone. And I'm in your neighborhood. Send your kids over. Yeah, I just think it's too much. I think this is why people hate liberals.
Yeah.
Because when you start putting in overly liberal policies to be all inclusive, it has the unintended consequence of being a douche.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
exactly.
As you guys said, the answer is just have more things to include more people.
Well, yeah. Just have that and then have something else.
Which they had,
yeah.
With the bowling and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the final one. As I said, we're going to get progressively controversial. It's weird fucking doing anti-liberal shit on this show. Who likes this crap?
What happened?
Let's do 10 minutes on Hannity. Cleanse my palate.
What happened here? I don't know where I am.
Let Joe write one fucking show. No. Just kidding.
This is our 5-minute praise to Trump.
I was praiseful. I was praiseful of our dear leader in the beginning of the show.
Oh, there you said the word again.
I was proud. I don't know if you saw. You probably didn't hear, but I had a resolution to the wall situation. Because Mexico's not going to pay for it. I said Trump could keep the promise if all the Mexican restaurants throw in free guacamole. They give us free guacamole.
Yeah, you ran about guacamole.
Yeah. I wasn't ranting. I was raised off
Why
the
is
problem.
Guacamole so expensive? It's always like you got to pay extra for it.
You should have been here. You could have participated.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
I was solving problems, as I'm wont to do. Pip would not go on board, but I was going to give the president a pass if he negotiated free guac.
Yeah, no.
I'm trying to give the man a chance.
I know.
All right. So,
I hate you a little for
so
that.
So I got this from the Fox website, so that's what's going to explain the opening sentence. Social justice activists. That's, you know.
Oh, boy.
At a New York high school successfully shut down production of The Hunchback of Notre Dame after a white student landed a lead role. Again, it's written a certain way, but the facts are the facts.
Yeah.
Protests of the production began when an African-American student... They didn't want to put African-American in there. They wanted to use a different word.
Oh, stop it. You stop it.
You know what word I was thinking, so you know it to be true. The schwarz are there. No.
Really? Is Fox News using schwarz? I don't think so.
Good
point.
Yeah,
really.
Fuck the Jews, too. Unless it has to do with Israel so Jesus can come back. When an African-American student quit Ithaca High School's musical production due to the role of Esmeralda being given to a white classmate. Quote, it shows you that theater wasn't made for you, the student told the Ithaca Journal. And it shows you that if you can't get the parts that are written for you, what parts are you going to get? Can I just stop right there? By this definition, unless you find a hunchback To play Quasimodo. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's written for hunchbacks. Don't you have to go into the hunchback community? But I digress. Just to follow the logic.
Yeah.
Student activists then banded together under the umbrella of Students Union Ithaca and wrote a letter that included a list of demands saying that while the young lady cast as Esmeralda was a stellar actor, singer, and dancer, any production would be lucky to have, she couldn't be cast in this role because she is the epitome of whiteness.
That's their opinion. She couldn't be cast in it because she's the epitome of...
And their defense, she does eat Miracle Whip sandwiches every day for lunch. But I would argue, well, if she's the epitome of whiteness, then how could she possibly be a good dancer? They don't jive, man. They don't jive.
Oh, God. What has happened to you?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm doing the show I was born to do.
Uh-huh.
It's Joe's week of revenge.
Oh, man.
At best, this is cultural appropriation.
Oh. I don't see that. Sorry.
A two, Pipe?
Yeah.
The student group wrote, alleging racial bias within the performing arts program at IHS, and at worst, it is whitewashing a racist casting practice which has its roots in minstrelsy. While the student activities demanded brown and black female students be considered for the role, the character in question is half Roma, half French, according to the novel by Victor Hugo. SUI stressed the book and the musical should not be conflated because the musical is only inspired.
Now stop right there. Do you think...
Okay, Meatloaf.
I got to know right now.
You know, women love
can
me.
I sleep on this?
Yeah.
Come no, back I'm tomorrow. We'll
right
do this
now.
Fake Davin's intrigued. Go on, Jane.
The character in question is half Roma, half French. Now, do you feel that when you have the story written for that specific, would an African American fit in that, and should you cast it as such?
They're making it sound like because there was a brown person in the movie, there can only be a brown person in your play.
Well, then I would argue the movie was a cartoon and we can only have cartoons in our play. We cannot put human beings. Every character must be cast as a cartoon.
Now, what is Roma?
I think Italian.
I think so.
Or
Romanian. Romanian, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
It ain't black.
No, but from what I can tell, like, French people are not considered people of color.
So
I'm just trying to get technical here since they're getting technical.
Right. So you guys, how would you cast a play? What would you look for?
All black people. Every fucking role.
There he is. Saving his ass.
I mean, there's more to the story, which we'll get. How would I cast it?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
If I'm casting a high school play.
Yeah.
For whatever the role is, the one who plays that role the best. So if it's a white person, was a white role, but a black person can play that role the best,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it to the black person or Latino or whatever it is. And this day and age, I'm not really going to look at color to cast this, regardless of who it is.
Right. Yeah. And what about you? You the same thing?
Same thing.
And the thing about it is a lot of these plays now, there are a lot. Well, I guess you might. Your daughter do plays?
No. But you know, listen, with the cat, I'm writing a couple of shows. One of them is ours, which there's not a lot of diversity in thus far. But another one that I am writing, we're specifically writing so it's a diverse group. First of all, we believe in diversity.
Yes.
But we think it makes it more sellable.
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you. I mean, that will be a thing that Flush has a problem with. At some point, you might have to get a black friend.
We'll get calm.
Your black friend, not Anthony.
It's my black friend, too.
Sure
we're going to get more. But anyway, no, but the thing about it is a lot of these plays, you know, around where I live, you know, you get the parents lay out money to sponsor the play,
mm-hmm.
and they write things in the bulletin and stuff like that, and they have to put out, you know. So I think there's a lot that go, you know, being the way my plan is, a lot that goes into it. Where they're feeling where, you know, if they're casting it correctly, specifically, the parents will get on board with it. The students will get on board with it.
The question is, what is correct? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What is correct? So the group points out the Musical Theater International Production Guide lists her role as Romani woman, who is an outcast racially and culturally. The Ithaca City School District announced it canceled the musical in an attempt to be more inclusive and culturally responsive in their efforts to eliminate institutional biases. The high school is planning on putting on another collaborative project, instead adding that this is not about any particular faculty member or the ICSD employee. So they're kind of doing what we talked about in the last thing. They're making other things that are equal.
Right, right.
We thank everyone for their contributions as we delve further into complex conversations, the district said. In addition, we ask that you please stay engaged as we continually work to create community-wide support for our students and school community. After the cancellation, the student group made more demands in a recent Facebook post. Stop the racist and openly stated policy of colorblind casting of the ICSD. The group wrote, adding, because of institutionalized racism, this results in white children being cast in roles written as white parts, and also white children being cast in roles that were specifically intended for people of color. Our end game, the group said, is a performing arts program with more unity, more inclusion, and a musical where we can all experience the joy and bonding, inclusive performing arts following best theatrical practices. Now, let me ask you this. Stop right here. What happens if a role is a straight character in a role? Can you not cast a homosexual or a lesbian? Because it should those or if somebody's a homosexual character in a play, should they only be cast by homosexuals? I mean, that's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing. If we want to go down this road, if you want to go down the road, that's where this takes us. That's the problem with logic.
Well, you know what? Let's just keep specifically to the matter of race. Okay,
because I like to.
All right,
you go over there. My people over here.
Well, I mean, now if we're talking about in Hollywood, I think that if we were going to do The Color Purple, it would be gross to have them cast white people and put them in blackface to play all the black parts. No, but I'm just saying. Or to try to have a movie that's about slavery and such, and
she's talking about the subject matter.
And
the subject matter is clearly
play those.
Yeah.
Parts. So they're saying, and I just looked it up, Roma, they're gypsies. I didn't know this. They originated in the Punjab region of northern India as nomadic people and entered Europe between the 8th and 10th centuries CE.
So we don't need a Johnson. We need a Patel.
It looks that way.
That's what we look at.
So so if that's true, if that's, you know, they're originated in a region of India, and then the people also, like, you know, took up with, well, they're saying French in this article. So if that was supposed to be the race of the person, okay, I understand where they're like, maybe we don't want the Lily White person playing it.
That's what they're saying. That is what they're saying.
Yeah, part of her
she's
role
the epitome
is,
of whiteness.
Yeah, and she's like being cast.
Yeah, but
as
you're
somebody
holding her race against her.
I know.
They admit that she's talented. I'd like to know if anybody who was not white got parts that were played by traditionally white people.
Yeah,
you know, that's not in the story.
Yeah, because maybe she got the part because she was good.
And maybe a Latina boy got a part that was originally cast as a white person. Yeah. We don't know that aspect of it.
Yeah, we don't know.
And I think it could be argued that African Americans are trying to steal the culture of the Romanis and French Hugos. It's a different culture. Maybe they're the ones doing cultural. Listen, that's the problem with fucking logic. I'm all happy for logic, but you got to take it to its conclusion.
Right. It's like, why are they saying, well, it would have to be an African American cast there if that doesn't make any more sense than the white girl?
It doesn't make
sense.
But they essentially
answered their own question here, why this person got the part. It's like a letter of credit. Listen to me saying, while the young lady cast as Esmeralda was a stellar actor, singer, and dancer, that's, you know,
yeah.
Look, we're all in a business. You know, getting a package like that where they could do all three is kind of rare. All right, especially
for a white girl.
But especially the kid, right, that can have that. Any production would be lucky to have.
That's the problem.
So what's the problem?
She was the
right person for the role.
You know, you got a better argument if this girl sucks. You got that? Like, if this girl
if
sucks,
she sung
right.
like a hinge and danced like a paraplegic, I would understand.
Oh my God.
I liked how you were arguing good and still made it awful.
Yeah.
That is a rare talent, my friend. You are now Jedi level like I am. Well played, sir. Well played. The despicableness is strong with this one.
we actually have a lightning rod thing here that we're actually agreeing on. We're having fun.
It can happen.
Yes.
Well, we don't always play our roles.
Hopefully we'll be able to throw this roast next week. But
I've been a lot. I mean, I'm not, well, maybe I'll bring up Hannity just to fight with you. Yeah. Anyway. But here's the problem. I'm confused by this whole argument. So are we supposed to see color or not see color? Because if we're not supposed to see color, then this argument is fucking stupid.
Well, it's not that you're not supposed to see color, because it's ridiculous to pretend that we can't. And people are saying that because... And hear me out.
No, cut her off now.
Okay. They're saying that because of so many years of white privilege that a lot of us are unable to see... Like, we're blinded by our white privilege, by what other people have had to put up with.
Which, again, would be good if this girl sucked.
Right.
Right. But in other words, it almost sounds like they want to have an affirmative action plan for the role of this part,
yes.
Even though the white girl is the superior player.
It sounds like that. Yeah,
mention, like, another person who was equally as good, who was African.
Right.
I almost said colored. Colored there.
Oh, my God.
Because I meant had pigmentation.
Yes. translucent
color.
Bitch who can sing and dance.
Color.
I like the way you was fucking. You know what they meant to say. Meanwhile, you do the piece on your own. Yeah, the colored woman.
Oh, my God.
No, but it's not like they held up this African-American girl. Go, listen, she's better or equally qualified. Because then again, you have an argument. You go, all right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, they're casting their next play called Drink from the Water Fountain. Let's see who gets that gig.
I have to excuse myself from this show now.
Why'd the white woman have to sit in the back of the bus?
Yeah, right.
Why'd she get to be
Rosa
Parks?
Now, if this was the Rosa Parks story.
Right, this is about our struggle.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it would be really stupid to have the white girl playing Rosa Parks. Yeah.
This lily white woman, I don't think it's fair the way I'm being treated.
I'm with you then. If you
I don't like the back of the butt, really. It's gonna buy this horse shit.
Yeah, really, it's like, who cast this?
Yeah.
Asshole. But again, that's not the argument they're making.
No. Well, they are saying that this person is a person of Romani descent. But I mean, I don't understand how that would make an African American more.
It makes no sense.
More.
You could get an Italian with a tan.
Yeah.
Really? Well, they're saying that she was outcast, but it's like you didn't have to be a person of color to be outcast in this play.
By the way, if we're calling a spade, I find the term the epitome of whiteness. Racist.
You were just, you know, you just, I was if, just about to go there after you were done. Because basically, because she's the epitome of whiteness.
Epitome, Joe, not epitone.
Epitome?
What, I said it correctly. Thanks for fucking it up afterwards. Stupid. It wasn't like you were reading it the first time. I just said the word.
Okay, epitome. Okay.
The epitome. It's the epitaph.
The epitome of whiteness. I like my word better.
Of course you do.
Listen, for years I thought it was pasta fagioli. All right? So
well, it depends on the restaurant.
Doesn't look like fazool. Who made that up?
But no, they're being racist by saying the epitome of whiteness.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like...
The epitone of whiteness. I'm stupid.
The, epitone.
The
really
epitoner.
Funny.
They ran out of the black color and the epitoner there.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my God.
How did I read it like that? Yeah, it is correct. Epitome. Yeah.
I know. It's a word I'm familiar with.
That's
stop
really
trying
funny.
With words.
It's just really confusing. I mean, in school, you see in like the little grades and stuff, they would have like a play about, say, I don't know, the Pilgrims and the Indians. And, you know, it's like, what are you going to do? The kid who is from a Chinese family, he doesn't get to play in this play because there were no Chinese people there.
You got to go to the casino to cast it. What are you going to fucking do?
Oh, God. Why do you have to make it awful?
You know, but you want to know something? If
grab
the,
your tits.
If
leave
the,
me alone.
The role wasn't really written for an eight, you know, when the play you're doing, if there was a role that originally wasn't written for an Asian person, but you have to sing and you have to dance, and this person does a stellar job, you want to know something? We rewrite the play a little bit.
Sure, you can do
it
that.
Happens a lot.
You know,
because right now what they're saying is the school is now limited to doing multicultural plays.
Right.
That's where we are. We have to do it, which is mostly the contemporary stuff. And this would have been better if they didn't admit that this girl was very talented.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she dances like a Clydesdale. Okay, you got my interest.
Yeah, all right. So now, was there somebody that was blocked out of doing the part?
Dance like a Clydesdale.
Yeah. That's graceful for a big old clunky horse.
Yeah.
And I don't think a bunch of white kids are going to rally around if a traditionally white role was given to a black student.
No. If they flat out nailed the part, they nailed the part.
Yeah,
you know?
They know.
And especially, look, and you got people that are, you know, that do the plays. Obviously, they're artsy people, okay? And if you see somebody that is doing their craft that's nailing it, color isn't really there.
It shouldn't be.
What they're adding to the production, and I'm speaking of people that are involved with the play, writing the play, in the play, you know, that love their craft. If somebody's doing that role that's nailing it, color isn't there. It's how they're adding to this play and how they're going to, you know, give everybody else the incentive to raise the level, raise their game to be at the game of this other person. That's what the arts are.
Everybody should want the best play possible. Yeah, if you're part of the play, you should want the best people to play it.
It's like, let's say you go to the comedy club and you have a guy, you know, you there's a guy, you know, you're doing about maybe eight guys are in a show, and you have that one guy that's a comics comic and he's in the show and he's going out there. You're raising your game to match where he is.
Yeah.
You're going to try to strive to be as good as he is tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same here. You know, color shouldn't be a factor.
They cited the traditional minstrel shows. I'm sorry. I don't see how that pertains.
I think
they're stretching right there.
Yeah.
They're not asking the white student to put on blackface.
No.
Once you start doing that, and the black character in the minstrel shows was pretty much an idiot.
I think that's
what the character was portrayed as.
I think it's the liberal teachers brainwashing them at all this.
There it is.
I know you're going to say that. But
well, because you know you're going to say you knew you were saying something awful.
But I'm saying something that, I mean, they're kids. Where were they getting all this from then?
It's out in the ethos.
No. Ethos.
It's there too.
Okay, good. That's the epitome of that word.
Nobody said the word before me.
You're
tried
so
to take
full,
it with the mis-
You're so full of hyperbole.
You amuse you.
I do. Oh, God.
Make your titties clap.
Yeah. Hold
you
on.
Do it with her hands.
That's what it is. Yeah, thank you for once again.
Play Mike Bongos. Yeah.
Boo Bongo. See, we're not ripping off Stern.
The creepy musician in Santana. Santana's got bongos.
Oh.
That's creepy music.
Yeah, you were going to say something. You were going to answer his awfulness.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I think the days of saying that whenever students come out with something that is of a liberal bent to say, oh, those Ivy Tower liberals. But it's like,
but
no,
it's
out in the
yeah,
culture.
Yeah, but we don't know you're drawing a conclusion. We don't know where the fuck they got it. They could have gotten from their parents. I don't know.
And it's out in the culture now. This is part of the whole dialogue. It's not just like there's some liberal teacher that's getting the kids all riled
up.
Now,
I will say, once again, unintended consequences. This is why people hate liberals.
Yeah.
Which is why people go, you're a liberal. I go, am I? No, I'm not really. Because I think
not tonight.
No, but I'm always consistent with my moral values. I'm not a team player.
Right.
Like I'm. This is too much.
I think it's a bit too much. Some of their arguments are falling flat for me.
A little specious.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just don't get some of the argument. I mean, yes, let me also preface by saying I don't know the play, so maybe I'm completely missing the point. And the fact is that it's sort of like
the
color purple,
the
and it has
they,
to be.
They didn't tell us the point. The points that they've been given are against their own argument, unintentionally.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense what they're saying. I think it's like way over the top.
So
here.
We're now increasingly in a gender fluid society.
Yes.
Does that mean only men can play male parts and women can only play women parts? Is that where we are now?
I think that you would have to take that case by case.
That's what I'm saying. Let's base it on talent.
Yeah.
That is true equality when it's based on talent. We have a problem when a person of a certain color or race or gender identification is biased against, is discriminated against.
Yeah.
We don't have that here. There's been no evidence that black people have been
discriminated against. And to go back to that whole thing, tell her actor, singer, dancer, and production would be lucky to have, but she couldn't be cast in this role because she's the epitome of white, but we're not over, because she's the epitome of whiteness.
Three times.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Epitome of whiteness.
Wow. You're not going to do well in the SATs. Back to lumberjack school for you, my friend. Nobody cares about vocabulary at the top of a tree. They never get a woodpecker heckling you.
Why can't I pronounce that word correctly?
Because you're stupid. Too bad you didn't have some liberal teachers to teach you English.
You know what? I'd say, like, hey, fuck you, man. No, you're actually right.
Yeah, the first time was funny. Now we just think you're a fucking idiot.
Now he's stuck in a rut. Yeah, he's out.
Yeah.
I'm stupid here. Get him out of the hump there.
Then, like, when you two first came out, I had to say to myself,
"Yo, why?
No.
Why? Why?
Well, apparently, you have a story."
When you two first came out, I had to remind myself, you don't say it like Sonny Bono. The guy's name is Bono.
Oh, when you. Oh, the band, you two.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
I thought we had like a Me Too, like a coming out
of
the closet
moment. Oh, yeah. Look, they make us share a room on the road.
When Joe and I skipped out of the hotel room together, hand in hand.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I didn't even realize
I remember that radio story. I'll have to rig that and flush. Yeah. There's another complication to their relationship.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Joe can only find satisfaction with his radio partner, Dana.
In a very special episode of Flush.
As they skip to the club in Michigan.
It's the epitome of freakishness.
As they share a straw.
Oh, my God.
Joe is playing with Davin's hyperballs. Yeah.
Both sipping a straw out of the same malted. Oh.
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
That's a band, not you two.
Okay.
Well.
Sorry to out you guys.
They knew. Yeah, they can only hide it so long till your true self shines through.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just going to put my arms back inside my shirt where they belong.
No straight men can be truly this hostile to each other. There must be some conflict that's unresolved.
Yeah. Yes. Their arguments are so homoerotic.
Exactly. Listen, I think in all these stories, the liberals are giving fuel to the people who want to hate liberals.
Yeah, yeah. It's way out of control now.
There's plenty of reasons to hate liberals, and these are two of them.
Yeah,
this is why. Are you left, right? No, there's assholes on both sides. These kids are assholes.
Yeah.
These kids, pick your battles. If you want to go to war and cancel a play, make sure you got everything squared up.
Yeah, make sure that your arguments make sense.
Yeah, stupid kids.
Yeah, there are other things to fight. There are other indignities and other
injustices
to fight.
Turn on the news. I'll give you a whole fucking list.
I know. We just saw a bunch of them moments ago.
Hannity. Ugh. I know. I knew it was good. I wrote a poem about him. I knew he sucked. But I'm not going to fight with that. You think Hannity sucks, right?
No, I like Hannity.
You're an asshole. All right.
Why am I an asshole?
Well, we don't have time for that. We got one more segment to do, and it's not about. It's not the. Well, in short, because if you want to pretend to be, if you want to be a journalist, you should be open with the people about your connections. In short,
he just used this lawyer, and
lawyer's got three clients. One of them is Trump's. One of them is a Republican fundraiser. And but remember, he was going on the air all the time, say like sticking up for Michael Cohen. It'd be nice to know why. That's what I'm saying. Be honest with your audience. I don't care that he's using this lawyer. I don't give a shit.
No.
Just be honest with your audience. Be an honest broker. Go, listen, by the way, this guy's a friend of mine.
Yeah, in the interest of full disclosure, blah.
This guy's a friend of mine. Putting that aside, I think they're wrong because this, that, the other thing. And
yes.
Then I go, all right, I disagree with you. You're an asshole. But at least you're being upfront.
Yeah.
Which is like when Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski were friends with Trump, Brzezinski, whatever her fucking name is, were friends with Trump, and like they would have Trump all the time on the show on Morning Joe before they had their blood feud. Mm-hmm. They were open about it. You knew Joe Scarborough and Mika were hanging out with Trump.
Yeah.
You knew they had been friends for 10 years and Trump was going to go on, and they would ask him hard questions and criticize him too, but you knew the background. It's not like Hannity's saying it by the end of the show, hey, I'll see you next week. I'm going down to Mar-a-Lago to have dinner with the president, which he fucking does. I mean, you know, be honest with your audience. That's why I can't take Hannity seriously. Hannity likes to one moment say he's a journalist and the next moment say he's an entertainer. He likes to play it both ways. There's only one way. He's full of shit. That's the way he is. That's why I don't like Hannity. That's why I got more respect for Rush. Rush doesn't pretend to be a journalist.
Yeah.
Right, you know Rush is a partisan. I would say a partisan act, but I'll just leave it. You know Rush is a partisan entertainer.
Yeah.
You know you're just getting opinion.
Well, to tell you the truth, that's one of the reasons I like Michael Savage. Michael Savage will take a conservative approach, and then the next minute he'll be rallying against Trump. You know,
now you understand why I don't like Hannity, and I don't really respect people who do like Hannity.
Yeah, but I think it's a non-story, to tell you the truth.
No, forget about. Well, we don't know why he's really the attorney, but again, I'm talking about if you want to have a show on a news channel, and we're going to say Fox is a news channel because there are news people on there, not in the evening and not in the morning show, but there are news people in there. But you either admit that you're not a journalist or be a fucking journalist. And being a journalist is you need to disclose things like that.
So, I mean, with the other stations, when they're doing the news, if they're doing something that a news story that actually has to do, even on a tangent, with their parent company, they'll mention
that. They mention it, yes.
So that you understand. We get that we have a connection here, and we need to disclose that,
yes.
And, you know, acknowledge it.
That's
and
what a journalist that
fact
does.
And the fact that he's not is really suspect.
And you got to remember, Hannity was upset that this came out. So it's not like he's like, oh, it's no big deal. He didn't want this shit coming out. So he knows he was in the wrong. He knows this is something he should have shared with his. Now, his audience wouldn't give a shit, honestly. His audience would lap it up anyway. They wouldn't care. But he should have been forthright with him. He's not a forthright guy. That's why he's getting sued for a lie story. That's why this guy's a political hack. And he's fucking a joke. That's why.
Yeah.
But whatever. That's neither here nor there. He's no Steve Doocy is all I'm saying. All right, we're going to take a break and do something. We haven't done Ann Jackson in ages.
Ages.
I don't think anybody has.
Why do you say hurtful things? You're the epitome of being an asshole. On the break, Raphael Maurer with Silent, and you can learn more about Raphael at khb-music.de. Real short break.